For decades, many of Winnipeg's inner-city neighborhoods have been associated with urban decay and limited economic opportunities. Over the past 10 years, however, a movement has sprung up to revitalize these and other city neighborhoods through a strategy called community economic development. Each year, the Canadian Community Economic Development Network holds a conference to celebrate these achievements and inspire new successes. This year is the 10th annual Community Economic Development Gathering with the theme Community Economies, Enough for All, Forever. Joining us to talk about the conference is coordinator Sarah Leeson-Klim. Good afternoon, Sarah. Thanks for coming.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for having me.
So what is community economic development and how does it differ from other economic development strategies?
Well, community economic development comes from an approach that looks at problems that are happening in our world and looks at them through a holistic model, looking at how environmental, social, and economic challenges are interconnected, and then looking for solutions based in that. And so one of the really important parts of the approach is to look at the community first. The community's knowledge is the starting point for community economic development, and then solutions can grow out of that, which include a really wide range of initiatives and programs, like cooperatives and social enterprises, neighborhood development. I think it's pretty diverse. It's wide-ranging. It's multifaceted approaches to changing social dynamics that are causing inequality for people.
And Winnipeg is really starting to become a center of community economic development. Are there good examples you can talk about locally for this?
Sure. Winnipeg is a great center, I think partly because our province has been quite supportive of these kinds of initiatives. And a couple that come to mind are a few of the cooperatives, worker co-ops. So Mondragon is one that a lot of people are familiar with, or Organic Planet Workers Co-op. Pollux Hardware is a consumer co-op that recently became a cooperative and is really succeeding. And then social enterprise is kind of a little bit different. It's defined broadly as any kind of business with a social mandate, but sort of a more narrow focus would be nonprofits that take on business ventures. And one that I think is amazing is Build Inc. So they do an employment and training program for people with multiple barriers to employment. And then they do environmental retrofitting, so kind of a construction and renovation focus. And along the way, they're able to provide opportunities for people that otherwise have a really hard time finding jobs. So it's doing that kind of work within the sort of economic model or in a business model.
And one of the key advantages, as I understand it, is that once you start to get a few of these enterprises and development opportunities happening in the neighborhood, they start to feed off each other. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most important kind of core values of community economic development is that it's collaborative. It works sort of a little differently than in regular business models that are often really competitive. So, for example, Build helps Pollux Hardware by buying all their materials from them, and then they might get referrals for people that would be part of their training program from NERC in the North End that does sort of a neighborhood-focused renewal work. So the more that these places grow and change, they start to support each other, and then they can grow even larger and see them grow in scale as well.
So this is your 10th year doing the conference here in Winnipeg.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the conference?
Sure. Well, it's my second year, and the conference has been happening for 10 years, which is quite an achievement. This year, we're hoping to have about 600 people attend and be involved in various ways. We have an amazing keynote speaker, Raj Patel, who is a noted academic and author and activist, especially around food issues. And he'll be our keynote speaker in the morning. There'll be about 30 workshops, and most of those are by local folks that have some kind of expertise in different areas around community development. So it's a great moment for the community development sectors to connect together and to learn together and also to celebrate. And the celebration part really comes through the food, where we get to experience wonderful local co-ops and social enterprises that provide food.
Great. And so you're having the main event is on Friday the 19th, and then the night before you have your keynote speaker, Raj Patel, he's speaking. Where is that event taking place?
So the kickoff event is at the Ukrainian Labor Temple in the North End. The address is 595 Pritchard. It's a great old historic building associated with progressive movements around the city, around the strike that happened in the early 1900s. So we're glad to be there. And it's in partnership with Menno Simons College, which is also a great partnership with people doing often global development work to connect in with the local movements that are taking place. And that'll be a really informal gathering. It's at 7 o'clock, the 18th at Ukrainian Labor Temple.
And what can you tell us about Raj Patel's research and writings?
Raj Patel, he's an American scholar. I think he studied in England and around different places, and he's focused largely on global food systems. So he takes an economic approach and also a really systemic approach to looking at the food system and injustices and inequities that are around that kind of those kinds of issues. And so his first book was Stuffed and Starved, that really looked at that. And then more recently, he published a book called The Value of Nothing, which looks at our economic system and sort of who has control and access within our economic processes and looking at how that maybe needs to change to make sure that all people have access to the same sort of resources and needs.
Earlier, you were talking about how the provincial government has taken some steps to help foster community economic development. What can governments locally, provincially, nationally do to help encourage development of this sort?
I think there's a couple of main things that they can do. One that we're probably all most familiar with is to fund organizations that are doing this kind of work. We can also think of our governments as being consumers. So I think governments that really support community economic development make commitments to purchase and procure all the supplies they need for their operations from local social enterprises. Our government's starting to do a little bit provincially that way. I think municipally and federally, there's not as much support for that. I think it'd be great to see more of commitment from those different scales. The other way that I think governments can really make a difference is to put policies and procedures in place to help people be consumers. So there's things like the CED tax credit that's come around in the last few years, and also think places like Pollux Co-op and Nietzsche Foods Co-op can offer investment shares to people to invest in their business without changing the democratic worker-owned model where people can invest and also get a tax credit and help those businesses become financially sustainable.
And how can listeners and households and individuals help support community development?
I think the first and foremost, to recognize that we're consumers and think about the way that we go out and get the things that we need and we want, and whenever possible, to support local social enterprise cooperatives. Another way is because as many of us think about charitable giving, to think about how we can give dollars that give more than just dollars. So supporting enterprises and cooperatives that don't just necessarily give charity, but also think about employment and training and some of those longer term solutions. And then again, becoming advocates. So talking to our local representatives and bureaucrats about the things that they can do and about the fact that it's important to us to really support a strong local economy.
Now, thinking about the conference next week, are there any highlights that listeners should not miss out on this year?
Well, Raj Patel is definitely a really exciting addition this year. He's someone with a real global understanding of these issues that can bring a lot of insight to our local initiatives and movements. And then I think lunch is something that everybody that comes to the conference looks forward to year after year. We have an amazing set of caterers from Mondragon and Organic Planet to a newer social enterprise, Larsh Tova Cafe, that supports adults with developmental disabilities. The food is amazing, and it's also just a great moment to connect with people doing this kind of work and really celebrate the successes that are happening. And then there's one workshop that I'm really excited about. We're going to take a field trip, and people can choose their workshops throughout the day. And one of them would be to take a walk from Churchill High School, where the conference is taking place, over to the South Osborne Community Co-op, which is a great example of a really successful community development initiative.
Well, I'll be sure to bring my appetite to the conference. Thanks so much for coming and speaking with us today.
Of course. Sarah. Thanks for the opportunity.
I've been speaking with Sarah Leeson-Klim from the Canadian Community Economic Development Network, the Community Economic Development Gathering Community Economies Enough for All Forever will be held October 19th from 8:45 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Churchill High School in South Osborne. For more information, you can find the link to the conference on our website, mudandwater.org. You're listening to Mud & Water on CKOW 95.9 FM.